All right, Jeff, you're going to do the intro. Have you got this? Can I lean on you for this? Can I trust you?
Let me pray about it.
You're gonna have to step up your game here, all right?
All
right.
Welcome everyone
to
the Field Brothers.
I always feel like
I need deep my voice when I do the intro.
Welcome
everyone to the Field Brothers Show podcast. My name is Jeff Fields. I'm here with my brother Roger, and we do appreciate you listening to us. We know you could be doing other things, and maybe you are doing other things right now. A lot of people, I like to listen to podcasts, so they can do other things. But you could be listening to something else. Let's put it that way. So we do appreciate that. We are coming to you from Central Kentucky. Roger and I are both former full-time pastors. We probably haven't mentioned that for a long time. We both chose of our own doing to get out of that, so neither one of us got...
We weren't kicked out. That's a good point. We do got to make that point every now and then.
No big scandals. If you Google us, you'll be disappointed. There's no scandals in the past. We think we've pretty much kept them under the rug, so you can't find them. But we enjoy getting together, talking about, and just sharing what we're thinking and seeing and hearing and about the grace of God and the finished work of the cross and discovering more and growing in the love and grace of God. So I've got a few random things here. I don't have any one.
Well, here I got something to throw out at you first, okay?
Okay.
Well, you know the difference between me and you, Jeff?
4 years.
No, other than that.
Okay.
I'm international. No.
Well, okay.
Well, what?
Yeah, our podcast, you know, let me get off topic here so we don't forget. We did notice, and we talked about this, that we can see the cities that our podcast is where it's downloaded.
Yeah.
And one of the cities that have kind of risen here lately is Honolulu, Hawaii.
That's not international. I'm still in America.
Well, I know,
Jeff,
that. I know that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's farther away from Kentucky than some.
Yeah.
International haste. But anyway, so we just want to say, you know, kind of a shout out to the folks in Honolulu. Yeah. I don't know anybody in Hawaii. I don't think you do either. So if we were
on the old Hee Haw show, we would say, Salud. Yeah, yeah. Isn't that what they would do?
But we're not going to do that.
Okay.
But anyway, but if anyone's listening, you know, feel free to drop us an email from Hawaii. We'd be curious to know, you know, evidently there's a group there listening. So
I hope you're okay, because I know Hawaii went through horrible times. So
it's Jeff at the Fields Brothers .com. Or Roger at thefieldsbrothers.com. So anyway, you mentioned international, maybe.
Yeah,
this
is really kind of more serious in a way. There's somebody that I had been friends with on Facebook, didn't know very well. But anyway, come to find out, I guess he pastors a church in Pakistan.
Okay.
And so I'm going to do an online, I guess, sermon for their church.
Oh, really?
In October, October 24th. And so I'll do it early in the morning. They're 9 hours ahead of us, so I'll do it in the morning.
This is Zoom?
I think Zoom, however they do it. I mean, I'll just use whatever link they send me. But anyway, you know, I mean, I kind of take that seriously. I'm going to try to find a little bit more about the church and kind of where they're at, and it'll be interpreted, so I guess they're English-speaking.
Someone you just met through Facebook?
No, he's been Facebook. I should know him very well. He's been a Facebook friend, I think, for a while, and I knew a little bit of him.
I mean, did you know him before Facebook?
No.
Okay. All right.
And but, you know, it's kind of, in a way, I got to tell you, it's a little bit humbling in a way, because, you know, can you imagine if you're a Christian in Pakistan? I mean, your government's not real wild about that. There are a lot of people who live in Pakistan are probably not real thrilled about your Christian faith. And I think we have it a little bit easier here. In Kentucky,
probably one of the situations where I would feel this way. You kind of feel like I'm the one that needs to be listening to them more than they need to be listening to me. But we both have, you know.
But anyway, so that just kind of came out today.
So they're 9 hours ahead. So what day of the week?
It'll
and what
be
time
like
are you gonna do this?
I think we're doing this on a Thursday, or I forget what day of the week it's going to be. They're like a day ahead. Well, 9 hours depends on what time of the day it is, whether they're day ahead, but. When I do it, it'll be in the morning, and it'll be their evening.
Okay, but a weekday, so not on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's a weekday.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
So anyway.
Yeah, keep me posted most of the time. Let me know when that is. It's. I mean, our podcast goes to typically 9 or 10. I mean, it's been to a lot more countries, but in over the last, you know, we see the stats on the last 5, and there's almost always 9 or 10 or more different countries where it's downloaded. It's amazing.
I don't know if it goes to Pakistan. We have to look into that, maybe see if maybe it's going
there.
I don't know.
I don't remember if that's been one or not. So
anyway, all right. What you got?
Oh, let's see. I mean, I heard this phrase the other day. Okay, let me ask you this. So Roger, or the idea of the biblical worldview, We've heard that for a long time, haven't we? So, Roger, do you have a biblical worldview?
I guess somewhat I do, you know. I mean, if you believe in God and you believe that God created the world and you believe Jesus is coming back, I mean, that would, you know, there's some.
And Elijah called fire down from heaven on your enemies. And so is that, you know, but you see where I'm going with this. I mean, that's just kind of, I mean, it almost says nothing, you know. Well, I mean, it says something. I'm not saying it doesn't say anything, but I mean, the Pharisees had a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
I mean, they absolutely had a biblical, but they totally missed it too.
Yeah, so, yeah, true. That's a good point.
But that's, you know, the idea that, or someone says, you know, I live by the Bible.
Oh, boy.
You
know,
so do you live by the Bible, Roger?
Not some of it, a little bit of it. Not a lot, you know, not, I mean, I hopefully live by the truth of the new covenant, which is in the Bible. Yeah.
The Bible points us to the, to the word, to Jesus and all that. I always think Romans 7:6, we live, you know, not by the written code, but by the new way of the Spirit. You know, it kind of occurred to me the other day, it's kind of like the Bible in a way is written in a code language and the language is love. Mm-hmm. And if you don't read the Bible through that lens of love, boy, it's a harsh taskmaster.
Yeah.
And, so that's, you know, so I want to have a love worldview or father's worldview as opposed to just a book worldview. Anyway.
You know, one of the things, and I started this once before, and I may tackle this again, but that is to redefine or to bring biblical words, Bible words, into definitions that connect with people in our culture today. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I've got one for you.
It's what the Message did to a
kind of,
to,
yeah, to they did the whole, yeah, but I'm just saying specific words. Now, they took phrases and it was a little, but I'm just saying the specific words that I think we've overly just made overly, like, and here's the word I'm going to go after is the word amen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, that's been a very Christian, Bible, churchy kind of word that just kind of means, yeah, we agree, or it's, you know, think.
Okay. Well, when we were growing up in the congregation, what would they say from the pulpit when they,
when all the people said,
and everybody knows,
every denomination knows that phrase.
Do they? Yeah, I was wondering. So the person in the pulpit says, and all the people said, and everyone, they kind of heard that you have to roll. If not enough people are already saying amen, you kind of have to roll your own. That's much how you roll your own.
You roll your own, okay.
And all the people said. All right. Okay.
But you know what the word really means? If you said the word amen, what in our language, how would you define that word? I have a very simple, but I think precise definition of the word amen.
Well, a couple of, I think some Bibles just say yes, or the just the term okay comes to mind. But
what I think it's a little stronger than that. I think it's a word that means that's the way it is. So, for instance, let me throw this at you, okay? So, look, it's in Romans 11:36. It says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory," and glory is another word I'm going to redefine, not in this podcast, "be the glory forever. Amen." That's the way it is. Okay, let me give you another one. I love the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20.
That's where I was looking.
All right,
that's where
he says, "As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed to you in Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him, and that is why it is through him that we utter our amen, that's the way it is, to God and his glory." It's just a very definitive, final, that's the reality, that's the way it is. Now, I've got a lot of
agreement.
I mean, it's even more than that. Yeah, we just agree. It's a very solid, that's a fact, that's the reality, that's the way it is. That's what I believe that the biblical word amen connotates. Maybe at least that's the best definition I know to give it.
I mean, that's all we, you know, that's kind of faith, you know.
Yeah. Amen's a great faith word. Yes. Right.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, amen, that's the way it is. I mean, I like that.
I mean, the end of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, just according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's the way it is. It's just a very, it's affirming that that's the reality of things. It's just kind of settled. I don't know.
Or it is what it is, you know, the phrase, it is what it is.
It is
you
what
know,
it is.
That's kind but of see, a worn out cliche. That can be kind of a.
But anyway, I just think that's going to be, I tell you, I'm going to write Roger's definition of Bible words. And I'm going to go after Repentance, the word sin, the word glory is a good one. You know, there's so many words that just mean almost nothing, but just have a religious, syrupy, religious, sappy connotation that we've imposed upon these words over the years, that when they were first stated, I believe, in the Bible, they had a very real meaning.
So glory. So what do you think of it?
I'm gonna do a podcast. I'm gonna bring some scriptures to that, okay. And I'm gonna tell you. I got some thoughts on that.
Saw a thing the other day. You know that verse,
might be the word too that's I think been misunderstood. But anyway,
the Colossians 1:27. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I saw something the other day. Said, you know, the hope of glory is not in heaven. You know, Christ in you. I mean, that's a new way to look at things. You know, we think of, you know, the hope of glory is in heaven someday. Well, Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then that, or the Colossians 3, the same book, when it says, when Christ, I saw that, and this one I thought of my own, or kind of came to my mind, you know, Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then will you also appear with him in glory. I've been thinking, and I'm not ready to spell this out in detail, but a lot of things about the appearing of Christ, and we tend to think of that as appearing out of the sky. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of scriptures that appearing from within us, mm-hmm. you know, as Christ fills us, and till Christ, Galatians also, till Christ be born in you, that type of thing. Or I thought you may have seen, I posted the other day, something about the torn veil, that we always see the torn veil at the cross as our access to God, which I think it is, so I'm not saying it's not, but I think there's also scriptures that, you know, that's also God coming out too. That, you know, God works from the inside out, and I think that sounds agreeable. You know, I think people would agree with that, but really think about that. You know, go back to John 7 again, with the living waters out of his belly, or out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. And so I think part of the veil being rent is the presence of God within us getting out, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I mean, that's...
I'm going to go ahead and give you my definition, but I'm going to develop it later on in a later podcast. Okay. But I believe the best word that I know of that I believe in our language, the word glory, is the word amazement. That's our hope of just something amazing.
Okay.
It just means something's amazing, something that's beyond your expectation, something that's super cool or amazing.
I've heard some things, I'm thinking about that. I've heard some things lately, but it just means that something's genuine character. Like, you know, when you see a mountain, you know, we went to Alaska and saw Mount Denali, a couple different names now, but Denali, and someone might say, you know, we saw her in all of her glory, mm-hmm. you know, because we saw it as it is. You know, we saw it.
Well, the character and the display. Okay, see, I would say that's the way in English we use the word glory, but I don't know that that's the way the Bible uses the word glory. I mean, I think there's more than one English definition of the word glory, but I think the Bible word, the best word that I know would just be something that's amazing. So anyway, go ahead.
One thing, and this will be for a future podcast, but I'll just let you know what I'm thinking of, and just see if you have any thoughts initially. But again, I'm not ready to spell this out. But it is listening to some stuff lately about, you know, the term the gospel and what we think of the gospel. You compare that to how, both in Jesus' ministry, and I realize that's before that's a good question. Before in Jesus' ministry, obviously still under law, but it says he came preaching the gospel, mm-hmm. or sharing the gospel of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And you talked about the kingdom. I've been thinking some more. I don't remember. I know you brought up the kingdom several months ago, so I think we'll be revisiting that pretty soon. But that really is a huge topic that I think I've overlooked.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's the last thing it says in the book of Acts, but Paul was doing, preaching the kingdom.
And so that fits. And so you look at all the sermons in the book of Acts, for example. Mm-hmm. And I realize it's transition time from Old Covenant to New Covenant, all that. But, you know, the sermons in the book of Acts are nothing like what we think of as a gospel message mm-hmm. these days. You know, we think of a gospel message is you're a sinner, so Jesus died for you, and you need to accept, or something like that, and Father loves you and all that, which all that's true. But that is just not what was preached in the book of Acts. You know, the central thing of the book of Acts was Jesus is the Christ, mm-hmm. and he rose from the dead and all that. So, again, I'm not...
Well, there again, I think because my opinion is it's very clear in the book of Acts that the book is a transition, how the church transitioned from being just a sect of Judaism into a full-blown movement of God apart from Judaism, how it transitioned out of Judaism.
I would agree.
Okay. And so I think the sermons had to do with that more than just a generic, I don't know what the word would be, just a blanket gospel message.
Even the latter, even when Paul's speaking to Gentiles and yeah. Agrippa and all them,
yeah.
you know, that's still, or in Athens, you know,
yeah.
You know, it's not, you've sinned, Jesus died for your sins, you need to put your faith in him. I mean,
right,
you know,
right.
I mean, it's just, Jesus is the Christ, the King, and he rose from the dead.
Well, you know what's missing? What's missing in most of the sermons, I mean, Acts 2 may be a little bit of an exception to this, but is the fact, okay, you got to realize you're a sinner, and you've sinned, and your sins have separated you from God, and so Jesus came to bring that. I mean, that's the message that's missing, really.
Right, clearly. Right.
You don't see
which
that.
It's all focused on who Jesus is as King, as the Messiah, as the Christ, the Chosen One.
All right.
And so, you know, I'm thinking through those things. I'll have more.
So have you ever thought about this? Like, tell me if you agree with this. So if you have somebody that you're sharing the gospel with, you want to say to them, how would you explain the simplest terms you know the good news of the gospel? Well, here's one way I might do it, okay? And that is to say this, that, you know, that God in the new covenant, God makes a promise to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus fulfilled everything that God the Father wanted. Jesus lived a pure, wholesome, righteous, totally righteous life, and gets because of all the blessings, all the promises of God. Our faith,
St. Corinthians 1.
Yeah, our faith puts us in him. So to me, once you get you grasp the idea that your faith puts you in Christ, mm-hmm. okay, or, then it takes away the inclination that I'm doing something, that I'm earning something, that I'm living up to something. I'm just in the person who's already mm-hmm. done it. And I think that the reason why in Christ is used so many times, I mean, we've said over and over, 190 times throughout the Gospels or throughout the New Testament, is because that really is, I believe, maybe the central theme of the gospel. You're in Christ. You're in what he did. Mm-hmm. That's what faith is. It just, you know, in my view, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but it moves you into place of being in Christ.
I wouldn't say our faith puts us into Christ. I would say our faith awakens us to see that we are in Christ.
Yeah, and we've had and this, all that. Discussion so, before. Yeah, we see it a little differently, yeah.
But, the in Christ is, 400 plus times, some version of that in Paul or in the New Testament, in him, in Christ. That type of thing, in the beloved.
I mean, it's just in so many different ways. I mean, it's almost impossible to even do a study of it. It's just so, mm-hmm. it's just throughout. I mean, it's just so many times when there's just a repeated theme. We've said before, once you get past the cross, there's almost nothing about following Jesus, almost nothing about, you know, let him be your example. It's everything is over and over and over Jesus, about the fact that you're in Christ.
And Jesus was our, forget the word, there's a theological word for it that I hear all the time that I can't think of right now, that, you know, he was our representative for us. And compared to, you know, David, when David fought Goliath, you know, he was fighting Goliath on behalf of all of Israel. It's kind of like his victory applied for all of Israel. And so, you know, everything that Jesus did, you know, he was the head or our representative. Again, I can't think of the word, but, you know, for us in that. And so it's, you know, so in that regard, God doesn't give us, I remember this years ago, this was me, you know, God doesn't give us these separate individual things or gifts. You know, you get forgiveness here, you get righteousness here, you get this here, you get joy here. You know, he gives us one gift, Christ, you know, and in him, all those other things, all the spiritual blessings in Christ.
I just think, to me, it just brings a little bit of clarity to us when you think in the terms of that God doesn't make the promise really to us. He makes the promise to Jesus, and we're just in him. Yeah. We're a co-heir with him, a joint heir. We're just in him, and that's why we get to have the benefits.
Yeah.
It's because of where we are.
And, I mean, that relates to what, you know, I was talking about in terms of Jesus is the Christ. He is the chosen one. And so it's a matter of seeing him and who he is, and that's the news of you can, you know,
and, go ahead. One thing, like in Galatians, I did write this one, in Galatians chapter 3, it says that the promises were made to Abram and his offspring or his seed. It does not say to offsprings or seeds. I mean, mm-hmm. Paul makes this exact point in Galatians 3. The promises were not made to a bunch of people, to seeds mm-hmm. or offsprings. The promises of God before the law, he makes it mm-hmm. clear that before the law was even given, God made the promise to Abraham's seed, which right. was Jesus. And we're in him, and that's why we get the benefits of it.
Yeah, I thought, I got thinking about Acts 2 the other day and this whole message, you know, just put yourself in their place. You know, one thing I kind of forgot, I think I knew this at one point, that a lot of people in that day were looking for a Messiah. The Jews had done the math from the book of Daniel, mm-hmm. and they were expecting a Messiah somewhere around that time. And, you know, a lot of them thought Jesus is it. And then they are just crushed, the fact that then he gets killed. And, you know, evidently he wasn't it. And then all of a sudden, Pentecost happens, and Peter stands up and preaches a sermon. You know, God made this Jesus whom you crucified. I mean, so this is mm-hmm. some of the same people that were yelling, crucify
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
This God made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. They were cut to the heart. Can you imagine?
They're like, oops.
Oh, boy, have I blown it now.
Yeah.
And so change your thinking with that. But, yeah, I mean, it is all in Christ. I mean, it's Mary and Martha thing, you know, sitting at his feet, listening to his word. I mean.
But, I mean, you know, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is the mm-hmm. new creation. Not if anyone follows Jesus and does their mm-hmm. best to live by his example. No, if anyone's in Christ.
Location, location, location.
Yep.
So. Yeah, I've heard that somewhere. You ever heard that phrase? Location, location,
yeah,
location.
Boy, I'm actually, that comes up in real estate a lot. Here's what happens in real estate. Since you brought this, I might have to cut this out, but the, you know, people buy, you know, everybody likes to flip a house. You know, they go buy the whole house. Yep. So, and sometimes, I'm not going to say this. Never mind. I'm not going to put this in the podcast. Never mind.
Okay, a couple of little things. Where is this? In Revelation, 21 here. What's the verse here? Let me find it here. Hold on here. Revelation 21 verses 5 and 6 is what I'm going to be reading here. So, I mean, this is, and I am no expert on the book of Revelation. I know, but anyway. So we would tend to think chapter 21 is future stuff. I mean, that's what we tend to think, right?
Oh, yeah. That
Revelation 21 is in the future.
Yeah.
Well, then I just read 5 and 6 the other day, and he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. So I guess someday in the future, he's going to make all things. Well, wait a minute. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So that's interesting.
Well, that's different.
Okay, but anyway.
I can make that
then
decision.
Then he says,
okay.
Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. Now that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's finished.
It is done.
Yeah.
And I just read that the other day or thought of that. I thought, wait a minute. I think I've read that before somewhere. So it's interesting in Revelation 21 saying it is done. I don't know if there's a different Greek word than what's.
Well, I think that's a future prophecy. That's a future. At that point when John was carried away in the spirit to that point in time in the future when that was going to happen. And then I think the Lord said to him, it is done. In
other words, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that because I know that I don't know, but. But, you know, well, that same earlier in that same chapter, and now I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Well, okay, that kind of sounds like the new covenant.
Physically, though.
He will dwell with him, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with him as their God. That sounds like the new covenant. So,
it was more of a physical thing there,
well,
though. I mean,
you
that's
can,
what I would say.
But,
well, I mean,
you know,
to me,
that's
a surface. I mean, that's a straightforward reading of it, but, well.
I'm not sure if I got much else here.
Yeah. Shall I start the exit music, Jeff?
Probably so. Yeah, we get done a little bit early. Sermon's almost never good. They say there's never a bad short sermon. I don't know if that's true of podcasts too or not. Or we do a retreat. Yeah, go ahead and let the music roll there. So Fields Brothers Retreat, still time. You know, we can put a few more people in. You know, it's at someone's home, beautiful view of the Smoky Mountains. So you'd be on your own for hotel room and probably for about all the meals. But we'll be gathering on Tuesday evening, November 7th, Wednesday morning the 8th, Wednesday evening the 8th, and Thursday morning the 9th. And hopefully at some point, Roger will show up and we'll be able to record a podcast as well. But if you're interested, email me. If you haven't already, email me, jeff@thefieldsbrothers.com. If you'd be interested in coming, and I can send you the address of where it's going to be. It's in Seymour, Tennessee, which is just south of Knoxville, just a beautiful area. So